Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly show about video games from the three most handsome men you know. I'm here tonight with Dave. Are you drinking ginger ale, Dave? Is that what that is in your
Canada
hand?
Canada Dry. It's me in a bottle.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. A little known story that no one cares about, but I wanted to mention it now. Whenever we were starting, I used to own a brewery before it burned in a tragic fire. But I used to own a brewery, and when we were buying our equipment, we wanted to do like a Frankenbrew system where we like got old vessels and like, reclaim them and use them. Our name was like Reclamation. So we wanted to do cool stuff like that. One of the big metal, stainless steel vats that we used had a sign on it that said domestic cheese. It had been used to make cheese. Another one actually
came from my stage name when I strip on the weekends.
Yeah.
Domestic cheese. Oh my.
Another one of them was actually used to brew Canada Dry back in, I think, the 50s.
No way.
Yeah. So little piece of you and little piece of me mixed together.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There we go. I think rye and ginger is an underrated drink for those. I'm not drinking that tonight. I'm just drinking the ginger. But yeah, Canada Dry. Known around the world, that's what we're known for. Canada Dry, which is a good thing we're known for, and Canada Geese, which is a bad thing that we're known for. I think we covered that a few weeks ago, but yeah.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started on the geese, the sidewalk shitting geese. Brandon, speaking of geese, how are you doing?
I'm doing, buddy.
You're surviving?
I'm living every day.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, until I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're here. And we're doing it up, doing it big. Talking about games this week, I think that's on the itinerary.
We'll try it this time.
But no Canada Dry for me. I just finished a Diet Coke.
Ooh.
Would
you like another?
I can't. No? I can't. I was questioning whether I should have this one, and I was like, fuck it. It's just my body. I'm just not going to be able to sleep maybe, but you know.
Oh, are you real sensitive to caffeine?
I don't know.
Oh.
I thought for the longest time it had little to no effect on me.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, probably for other reasons, I had trouble sleeping, and I was like,
it was probably the constant erections.
Ben, you know this about me. But I was like, I'm gonna remove every barrier to affect sleep, whether it does or not. So I haven't tested it super thoroughly.
Yeah.
But I have enough caffeine in the day. I'm like, gotta stop at some point.
Yeah.
So for the blood pressure, for the heart.
7:15 right now. I think this is probably a good time. You're usually go to bed like midnight, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's like something like caffeine has like a half-life. After 6 hours, it's like half of the caffeine that you consume is gone, something like that.
I don't know. I wish that caffeine had, I'm sure it has an effect on me, but my body has become so conditioned to it since,
right,
as long as I can remember, I wouldn't literally do this, but like I could drink a 2-liter of Mountain Dew or an entire pot of coffee and then just go directly to sleep.
Dude, the one night
I probably don't sleep as well.
Yeah.
But I've never tested it otherwise. Like, yeah. I wish that if I drank a Red Bull, I felt energized, and I don't.
Dude, the one time, Dave, we were at a fire at Ben's, and it was nighttime. I mean, we were having a fire. It had to have been like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And we hear Ben open a can. I thought it was like a cold one or something. And it was a Rain Energy, 300 milligrams at 9:30, 10 o'clock. I was like, holy. This man is a trooper. More power to you. I mean, honestly, I'm not judging you. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous of you guys.
If I was trying to pull an all-nighter, I'd do something like that. But I was like you guys. Like, I just kind of assumed my body had gotten used to caffeine. And I think it did to a certain point. But last summer, I made a bit of a mistake. And I was making coffee at my mom's house.
Cafefe.
And I'm not familiar with her coffee machine. So I just kind of wung it. And the pot of coffee I made was way too strong, but I said, fuck it. And I drank it. And man, I was like seeing noises. It really struck me that like my body had gotten used to a certain amount of caffeine, which is quite a bit, but in a certain dosage, and I had like exceeded that. So yeah, be careful with caffeine. Be careful.
Yeah, Dave was drinking like the sludge. He had double or tripled. It was thick coffee at this point. Yeah.
I remember there was the last time I can really remember being affected by caffeine, like in a bad way, I suppose, was when I was in college. I think it was my sophomore year, and I went to Big Lots. I don't know if you're familiar with Big Lots, Dave, but they basically like. It's like a discount store. They basically like anything that a store, whether they go out of business or whatever, maybe they just have like too much or they're going out of date soon or something like that. The Big Lots buys them up in, you know, Big Lots, and then they sell them. And you can usually like you can go in there and find something for cheap, pretty cheap. Sometimes they have like full price stuff, but that's, you know, that's just how they get you through the door is the cheap stuff. Anyway, when I was in college, I used to go there and buy like 30 packs of ramen noodles. And,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
So I bought a case of like, I think they were like 6 or 10 ounces, something like that, of NOS energy drink, which I still love to this day. I love NOS energy drink. It's my favorite energy drink. But I bought a case and it was like, oh, these are just like little bite-sized things, you know, sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so I would drink 2 or 3 of those. God, and then I'd be like, damn. Like throughout the morning, you know, the day, whatever, I just liked the taste. And then I was like shaking. After I was like, what's going on? Why am I feeling like this? And I was like, Oh,
I get it.
But I've since I usually drink more caffeine than that just in coffee on a regular day. Right. So I don't think it's.
Dude, my peak was, you know, Monster in the morning, Monster at lunch.
Yeah.
At some point I was like doing it consistently. I'm like, I gotta stop doing this. I have to, this is too much. And it, you know, you could drink a soda all for the whole day. And depending on how many you drank, it still wouldn't be as much. Like, some of these are 300 milligrams a pop.
I know.
You know what crazy. I mean? For like, what, 16, 18 ounces, something like that? It's
usually 16, yeah. Brandon, I remember the story you said about Monster Energy of one time you were driving down the road, through a country road, going way too fast.
I do that.
Listening to some shitty rock band. Drinking Monster Energy,
sure.
And you suddenly had the realization that you'd become what you hated.
Dude, yeah.
Was it Nickelback? Was that who it was?
Dude, yeah. It was either Nickelback or
he had a vape, you know, too.
3 Days Grace.
That's right.
I had a vape. Dude, I might as well have been driving a Subaru WRX. It's just like I'm wearing a Tap Out shirt. Fucking jeans in the sandals, yeah. Jeans in the thongs. I might as well have been doing that. Yeah, sometimes you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all you needed with you was like a woman with bleach blonde hair,
jean skirt,
jean skirt, but it's tattered. There's some holes in it. One sleeve. of tattoos.
Are you from America, Dave? How'd you know that?
Well, this is a show about video games and all sorts of other shit sometimes. If you want to help support us, I know it's early in the show. If this is your first time, you're like, what the hell are these guys doing? But if you want to help support us, you can go over to patreon.com/handsofphantom. You can sign up there for as little as $1 a month. That's less than 25 cents an episode. Episodes release every week, one day, ad-free. And early, one day early and ad free for patrons. And if you're not a patron, you can get the show still. That's totally fine. We don't mind you being around. Whether you're a patron or not, we'd love to have you over in our Discord at handsomephantom.com/discord. We appreciate all the members over there striking up good conversations about bear sex and Baldur's Gate and all sorts of stuff. But most of the time we talk about video games, and we will start doing that with news item number one. I don't know why I put this at number one, but it's the first one I saw, so I did. PlayStation 5 titles have maintained their dominance on the UK physical charts for the second consecutive week. This is attributed to summer sales and price-promoted bundles, which have propelled several first-party PS5 games to the top positions. LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, bundled with the PS5, surged from number 6 to claim the number 1 spot.
Damn.
That's insane, first of all.
Dude, still.
Let's just stop there for a second.
Still.
It did get bundled with the PS5, apparently, in some regions, but Skywalker Saga is getting kind of old.
I know.
No. I mean, it's a little over a year, I think.
And I know LEGO games have mass appeal, but like, it's old.
I bought that game and played it for about 10 hours, and I just got burnt out.
Yeah.
I was being too completionist on it.
The UI's ass.
It is.
It's so.
You're not wrong.
It's one of the worst I've seen. There's just too much.
FIFA 23 slipped into number two, or slipped to number two, after an 11% drop week on week. God of War Ragnarok, interestingly enough, rose from 13 to 6. Spider-Man Miles Morales went from 25 to number 7. Gran Turismo climbed from number 21 to number 8. In Nintendo news, Pikmin 4 fell to number 9 with a 38% decline in sales. That's not great. We'll get there.
That is tough.
Remnant 2, which debuted last week, landed at number 40 with a 47% decrease in sales. Also not great. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, old as shit, came back into the charts at number 33. Dark Souls Trilogy followed at number 39 with a 32% increase in sales. So that rounds it out at LEGO Star Wars Skywalker Saga, FIFA 23, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Hogwarts Legacy, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, God of War Ragnarok, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Gran Turismo 7, Pikmin, and Grand Theft Auto 5, which, by the way, is what caught my eye, that Grand Theft Auto 5 was still on there, even on the precipice of a new Grand Theft Auto, more than 10 years after its original release. It's still there.
Dude, I doubt it's in the show, but I think they said something like they sold 5 million copies last quarter for how old it is.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was at 180 or something I saw on the tweet last quarter, and then it's at like 185 total million. Insane.
Yeah. The real reason I wanted to talk about this, Dave, specifically, I'm targeting this at you. Not really. It's just you're the all digital guy. So this is specifically boxed sales. So this is, you know, on the shelf, people buying them. I guess they could be buying them from Amazon as well, something like that. But seems like physical games are still churning around over there. Remnant 2 was the one that surprised me the most with, they did have such a huge release and then had almost half of their sales, which I guess is kind of normal because it's just brand new. Anyway, Dave, what's your take on some of these older games popping back up into the charts back in the UK?
Yeah.
Or back in the USSR.
It's pretty wild. Especially given that this is UK data, and something knocked FIFA 23, which is this year's FIFA, off. You know, to knock that off in any European country is, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And for it to be Lego Star Wars I get it's bundled, but man, how deep was that sale? How deep was that discount? Because that's not what I would expect at all. So, it's pretty crazy to see anything kind of, dethrone FIFA in the UK. I would like to see how these kind of stack up against digital sales in the same period. Obviously, that's not something we're really seeing here, but I mean, obviously there's still people out there who want their boxed games. They want that plastic, they want that CD with the code on it and nothing else. I again also be curious to see how the split works, because we did chat a couple weeks ago about how Tesco, one of the biggest retailers in the UK, very similar to Walmart, is dropping physical sales of games. And, you know, I've seen it over here in Canada, same thing at Walmart. It's getting harder and harder to find, you know, newer releases of games. They seem to get fewer. They used to have like a banger bin where it was just like a bunch of like games from the previous gen and everything was $10. They don't have that stuff anymore. And it's really sad. So, I mean, it's good to see that people are still getting what they want, but I don't know. This might look different in about a year down the line, but time will tell, I suppose. But Skywalker Saga, good for you. You've dethroned FIFA in one of the hardest places to do it. So Lego games, they're still going strong.
Brandon, what do you think about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe being at number 3?
Yeah. I'm not surprised by that. Of all the games that are on this list, that one probably surprises me the least. I think Dave does bring up a good point. We did talk about this staggering difference in the physical versus the digital sales and how small this pool actually is.
That's true.
In retrospect. So I think even though this is an interesting lineup we have here this week, we still need to keep the context of that in mind. So, I mean, I'm glad to see anything chugging along physically. I guess Spider-Man Miles Morales, obviously an amazing title, but I think some of that has to do a jump from 25 to what's that at 4? Is that 5?
It's like 7.
7. I think we're getting some cross-pollination from Spider-Man 2, which I guess is super duper good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever you can pull your audience back in, I would love to see what the original, you know, well, not the original, but the old PS4 title, to see if that charted whatsoever and where, because I would bet any money that that's the reason we're seeing Miles pop back up.
If you buy
it, I just thought about.
Hold on. If you buy a bundle and it comes with a code for Lego Star Wars, in this case, are they counting that as a physical sale?
I would say probably.
Yeah.
I would say, I bet you any money. So, I mean, this data is obviously kind of strange and skewed no matter what. I'm glad to see that in any capacity, I guess, something it's considered physical. So that way these companies know there is some demand for it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of these games are very old. And I guess that PlayStation's going pretty strong right now, because most of those are PlayStation titles or heavily PlayStation titles. We got a couple there. So, and they're old.
No Call of Duty either, which is interesting.
Dude, don't even get me fucking started on that shit. I don't think you're going to talk about it, Ben. And I'm just going to talk about it for 2 seconds. They just did. Am I the only one that see this? The Modern Warfare 3.
I did see trailer. It, but I didn't put it in the notes.
Dude, come on. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. That's all I got to say about that.
I do have a Call of Duty story later, so we can expand on.
I don't
Call of Duty.
I don't want to spend almost any time on this anymore. But besides this and Mortal Kombat 1, I think are pretty close to being tied for the shortest turnaround from first trailer to launch game. And I think Mortal Kombat, it's okay because it's more of like a shadow drop.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Call of Duty's so shitty because they originally said they weren't going to offer one, and now they're trying to pull the switcheroo.
Well, in fairness, even though I don't like to do this, I don't think they ever said that. I think Jason Schreier and some other people reported that.
Bro.
Which...
Stop dicking us down.
I mean...
Stop dicking us down.
Those guys that do that kind of reporting usually don't report baselessly. I mean, like, that was probably true. Yeah. They just didn't announce it.
I might end up being a shill, and I'm not going to say it, but I have a feeling that this may be the first year that I might not get Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say for sure because, you know, it'll probably come out and everybody will be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
You know, I mean, in fairness, you know, just we've been doing shows together a long time and you like have said that at least 3 years before.
I know. But bro, when does it stop? See, that's the never-ending cycle of madness I keep achieving when playing these games.
Yeah.
Is that for the first month, it is fucking hype central. Okay? But I just need to remember that. Remind me, boys. Where, if I stray on the dark path once again this year,
mm-hmm.
remind me that I need to think about my actions.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I need to have a little bit more thought when it comes to this sort of thing because I'm not happy with the series. And so I need to express that.
Understood.
I can't have a fear of missing out anymore because in reality, is it going to be that much different than last year's?
No.
Exactly. So for myself and for the audience, just some food for thought. That's all.
Moving on. To more Nintendo. I was going to talk about Pikmin 4 real quick. That's not great that they went from 3 to 9 1 week after release.
Yeah, dude. First of all, it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, absolute fucking powerhouse. But I really, with how well the game critically seems to be doing, I would assume that they would skyrocket. And it's a pretty big series. I mean, people have been asking about it for years and years. I am genuinely surprised at seeing that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still selling quite well.
Oh, no, no doubt. Because it's Nintendo, but...
Oh, it looks like that Hogwarts Legacy slotting in there at number 4. It has come down from last week. The boycott must be finally working.
Yeah, dude. It's finally catching up. Finally. Everyone's voting with their wallets here.
Number 2. Nintendo's latest financial results. This is a little bit old news, but that's okay. Nintendo's latest financial results for the first quarter of 2024 up until June 30th reveal that the Nintendo Switch family of systems, including the standard model, the Lite, and the OLED, continued to perform exceptionally well. The total number of Nintendo Switch units sold has reached an impressive 129.53 million, probably no doubt at 130 million at minimum by now, marking a 13.9% increase in year-on-year sales. The success is attributed in part to strong sales of Tears of the Kingdom. Here's the breakdown of Switch hardware for the first quarter of 2024, fiscal year 2024. Total Switch hardware sales, 3.91 million. Total standard Switch sales, 0.64. OLED, 2.83. And Lite, 0.43. While the Switch's current ranking doesn't surpass the Nintendo DS, it's closing in and maintaining a strong position among Nintendo's best-selling consoles. As of June 30th, the ranking stands as follows, and I won't read all these through, but basically we go from the DS at 154, the Switch at 129, the Game Boy at 118, the Wii at 101, all the way down to the Wii U at 13.56, which is crazy low for any Nintendo system. Dave, you've got a Switch. I have a base Switch. I probably would not have upgraded to the OLED had I not gotten an insane deal from a friend on it. But how are you feeling about the Switch's continued success? And, you know, let's just slip in there a little bit into the realm of the new Switch, the new details we're seeing on that.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It looks like the trajectory for this console is going to put it as the reigning champion of Nintendo consoles at some point in the near future. And it's impressive. I mean, Nintendo really took a gamble on this thing. And obviously they made a good bet coming off the Wii U. It was good to see a company like Nintendo kind of be able to admit they made a mistake. They misread the market with the Wii U and move off of it quickly onto the Switch. And it's a great little console. I've been on a move on the move a lot this summer, and it's really come in handy. So I'm happy to see this. I guess the OLED is basically this standard Switch now. Like from a stock circulation standpoint, it's probably a lot harder to find the original Switch. So
I would just to cut in, I would actually say that of the times I've actually taken a gander at them in stores, I've not seen almost any OLED Switches. I almost only see the regular ones. And maybe that's because people are buying up the OLED ones.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that the OLED sales are mostly, because it is more expensive, are mostly people who already have a Switch double dipping. That's my guess.
And I'd love to, just as an aside, I'd love to see sort of the lifetime breakdown of how the Lite actually sold. Because that was obviously a Lite version of the console, but it really took a pretty strong aspect of the Switch and eliminated it for the sake of cost. And I personally played 90% of the time in handheld mode, but I wouldn't want a Lite because I really like the idea of having that docked mode. But I mean, this heating up of sales for Switch, I'm sure Nintendo probably saw it coming. Tears of the Kingdom is a generational game. But I think it puts them in a bit of an odd position because all signs are pointing to the next Switch coming early in 2024. None of that is official, but based on everything we've heard, it sounds like that was the plan. But you don't want to release a new console or even announce a new console when sales on your current console are still pretty hot. You generally want to catch it like on the decline. But, you know, if Nintendo kind of has operational plans to push this thing out in the first or second half or the first or second quarter of 2024, then it's going to put them in kind of an odd situation because, you know, if the Switch is selling, you leave well enough alone. You know, I'm sure as we get further away from Tears of the Kingdom's release, it'll cool off a little bit, and you know, maybe they'll announce like an up-res version of Tears of the Kingdom on this new Switch, or we'll finally get something from Metroid Prime or something like that. But I gotta think that Nintendo's in a bit of an odd situation here. I still think we're gonna hear about the next Switch before the end of the year, and I'm really curious to see what they go with, whether it's just sort of a Switch 2 or if it's going to be something a little bit different with some new functionality. But yeah, good for Nintendo. I really like my Switch, so good for them.
Brandon, as far as these sales, you know, we kind of been there. Nintendo's never going to die, whatever.
Sure.
But they're at 130 million. The goal, I guess you could say, to beat the DS, which they had like 900 iterations of, would be another 25 million. Which seems unlikely at this point in the life cycle, certainly not out of grasp. I'm pretty sure they're going to continue selling the Switch even after its successor comes out. But I was wondering, Brandon, are you going to buy whatever the next Nintendo Switch console is? Well, I said Nintendo Switch, the next Nintendo console. All the rumors are saying it's very Switch-like.
Right. I think that will solely depend on how they, I don't want to say support, but how they manage their ecosystem. Like, if I'm able to play everything that I have on my Switch, all the new games on my Switch, I'd say probably not.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think it would be really smart for them to...
That's almost never happened, by the way, to play new games on an old system.
Yeah, definitely not on Nintendo, that's for sure. But, yeah. Yeah, staggering numbers, no doubt. I'm hoping that the next Switch has the pack-in stick drift that everyone loves.
Right, right.
yeah, this is... astronomical numbers. And I mean, I agree with you, Ben. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to pass the heights of the DS at this point. I mean, their biggest chance just went by, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
In the time frame we have left with this console, I don't think anything is going to come out after this that's going to be as big as Tears of the Kingdom.
Probably not. They've already sold 3/5 the amount of Breath of the Wild that they've sold total. Already in like 2 months,
right?
Like 30 million compared to the 50 million of Breath of the Wild. But it's certainly not impossible. It is insane to think about 50 million units of a game selling. In with Nintendo, it's like, yeah, that seems reasonable. With everybody else, you hit like 1 million sales and it's a, you know, astounding victory.
And they're tweeting about it.
And they're tweeting about it. Nintendo's like, yeah, we just crossed 30 million. No big deal.
Yeah.
Here's a kind, elderly, gentle Japanese man to tell you about our next game.
Right, yeah. So, props to them, I guess. They do it big. They do it like no other company can. But
yeah.
I guess we'll see. I'll be passingly interested in the Switch too, but unless I come into like a bunch of money or something, I really don't think, aside from like 3 games,
yeah,
which gave me my money's worth in the Switch, if it wasn't for those 3 games... And that's not very many games as far as I'm concerned for an entire console. So even though I do like my Switch generally, and I've had some amazing gaming moments on it, I'll definitely be thinking quite a bit about a Switch 2. And who knows? I guess anything could happen. But
it is interesting because we know that they still have a couple decent sized sellers coming. We've got Metroid that they've been advertising for the Switch for years. Mario Wonder is advertised as coming this fall for the Switch, which there definitely won't be a new one by then. So there's a couple decent sized mainline games from Nintendo still coming out before the end of this life cycle. And I would imagine that, let's say they put out, I don't know, just an example, another Pokemon game next year, even if the new Switch or the new console is out, that's probably one that's going to do a cross-gen because they always seem to have one or two big games that end up being cross-gen at the end of their life cycle into the next one. So we'll see. They could hit that 154 million mark, but I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's a lot of units.
Although the new Switch is rumored, maybe this is just for the dev kits they sent out, but not to have an OLED screen, to have the same old screen we had on the launch Switch.
Yeah, it's kind of whack.
Which is not a good move in my opinion, but hey, Nintendo will still sell 100 plus million of them. So
yeah, they could sell you a toaster with a screen on it and it would sell fucking...
Oh, it probably wouldn't even need a screen.
Just a toaster.
They're just like, it makes Mario sounds and it's like, I want it.
Wahoo.
Every time when your bread's starting to burn, you hear the Bowser like dun 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 dun. Number 3, in the newly released Warzone Season 5, Call of Duty has introduced a real-time alert system into its Ricochet cheating system. Now, if the Ricochet system removes a suspected cheater from the game, the kill feed will immediately notify all players in the lobby. This enhancement to the anti-cheat system aims to keep players informed about the removal of dishonest players and reinforce fair play. The Ricochet system, first introduced in 2021, has been progressively upgraded with new features as it actively targets and bans thousands of accounts engaged in cheating. It employs various mitigations, such as disarming weapons and creating decoy characters called hallucinations, which we talked about last week. Brandon, this is something I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Not only because I think it's a good move, you know,
sure.
People get nervous about their account getting banned and, You know, they may mean it will think twice about cheating, or maybe they'll turn off their hacks or whatever. But first of all, why wasn't this there before? That's the question we always ask about Call of Duty cheating. And second of all, why did it take BattleBit Remastered coming out and doing this for them to decide to implement?
That's exactly what I was literally thinking the exact same thing. I think it's good for the player, right? Yeah. But I think it's more like in BattleBit, it seems sincere. Like we right. cared from the start.
Right.
Call of Duty's doing this, and not just because I have a little bit of a bone to pick with them. It's just like, look how little hackers there are. See every single lobby they get banned. We're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I do think that they probably have good intentions for their company.
Of course.
But I think that the main driving force is people leaving in droves and not actually giving a fuck about people cheating.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of down on the Duty series, if you couldn't tell this podcast.
Duty.
No, I guess this is good. And I think that if BattleBit had to be the one to kick them in the ass, I think that there's no better game to make a lot of the first person shooter companies think twice than such a simple and complex in some ways wonderful experience as that is. So yeah, this is good. I'm glad they keep adapting, but it's for reasons. No. Probably not the reasons that we want.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll probably find out in like an expose in 10 years that hacking actually cost them X amount of money somehow. So that's why they did it.
Right.
Not because of the player experience.
They're in bed with the cheating companies or something.
Yeah. They're actually the ones who create the hacks and sell them.
Yeah. They're like, look at us ban them.
Dave, a little bit of a different question, because obviously, you know, hacking is bad. We don't like to do it. But have you ever had the temptation? I think about this sometimes. Have you ever had the temptation in a game like, wow, I just want to mess up everybody's day. I should cheat. Like I should figure out how to make this work in my advantage. Has that ever even been a temptation for you?
No, like when I was a kid and I you would have cheats. Like I would, you know, find cheats in a magazine or something and I put them in just to kind of screw around with it and see what was possible. But it became kind of not fun pretty quickly because it's just like there was no challenge anymore. And I'm just, you know, I've spawned six different tanks in Grand Theft Auto and I didn't have to, you know, get into an Air Force base to steal them or something. So it's just, okay, you know, blowing everything up is fun for a few minutes, but not for long. The pursuit is what's fun for me. And in the limited kind of gameplay that I have with competitive stuff, it wouldn't really feel all that fun to just kind of see all the enemies through walls or not even have to aim. Like, I don't know. I want to get good at that stuff and feel like, you know, kind of I invested some time and improve my KD. Not I just, you know, put on some program. I guess some people are driven to do it because, you know, they're streaming or something and they want to look really good and you know, people won't watch if you're shit. So I don't know. I've never really had the temptation. I do really like this change because I, you know, just reading it in this article, I always thought like, how would people have known in the past, like when a cheater has been caught? Like you don't actually, there's no direct like notification. You just kind of feel like there's less cheating going on, or you would see the odd press release from Activision or something saying we've banned X amount of cheaters. But like having that real time, like feedback that somebody has been banned is it's gotta be much better for the experience. And especially like if you've fallen victim to somebody, like in a lobby and then like you see them get banned, that's got to be even more satisfying. So yeah. I'm with you guys on this. It's good to see. This is, I think, from an experience standpoint, I don't know if it's going to fix anything. I think what we talked about last week is probably a little bit better in terms of tracking player behavior and actually letting them cheat for a little bit longer before they're booted. But for the people who are just trying to have an honest, good time, It's always nice to show them when you know you're taking action against this kind of thing. So, yeah.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind.
brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Number four, and I'm going to say this name the way I know to say it, but I know that it is actually pronounced multiple different ways, and I can't remember which one's the right one. But Kena, Bridge of Spirits, the 2021 action-adventure game developed by Ember Lab, managed to break even just a month after it's launched. The co-founders of Ember Lab shared insights in an interview about their approach to game development and their future projects. They discussed how Kena Bridge of Spirits grew in scope during development and emphasized their preference for creating games that are approachable and appealing to players with busy lives like themselves. While they plan to take on more ambitious projects, they aim to balance complexity with digestibility. Interestingly, the co-founders hinted that their next endeavor might not be a traditional video game. With a background in film and a love for linear media, they expressed interest in exploring the Kena universe. Kena, see, I already mixed it up. Through different mediums beyond interactive gaming. The game is centered around Kena, a young spirit guide skilled in mystical arts who helps souls transition from the mortal realm to the spiritual world. It's a third person, et cetera, et cetera. Dave, I don't know. Did you get a chance to play Kena or Kena or whatever back when it came out?
Kena. I've never heard Kena. Kena. I don't know which one's right, but I just always thought it was Kena.
I thought it was Kena, but I heard someone who seemed like they would know say Kena.
Right.
And I heard a different pronunciation. So I don't know which one's right. It's kind of like Ubisoft and Ubisoft for me.
Right.
But anyway, okay. Whatever you want to call it. Have you ever played it?
I've never played it. I thought it looked like a really cool game. I've seen people stream it, and it looked really good. Never jumped into it myself. This was on PlayStation Plus a little while ago. But to hear that a game like this, with this aesthetic in on PlayStation 5 launching when it did, which was, I don't know, like 16 months ago or something like that. I'm really, really, really happy to hear that it broke even a month after launch, because this is the perfect game to get, you know, kind of some good coverage leading up to launch and then get completely lost and nobody buys it. People just watch it. People wait for it to go on a deep sale. So, really happy to see that a small developer kind of was able to churn out a success like this. So I don't know. Did you play it?
I played it for about an hour. I didn't buy it, and they didn't send it to me. I don't remember how I played it. If it was on a subscription or somebody bought it, and I don't know. I don't remember how I played it, but yeah, I thought it was cute, but it just wasn't what I was looking for at the moment. Brandon, the reason I wanted to bring this story up is because they talked about not wanting to make a traditional video game and maybe doing some video or like a movie or something in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the people who made this game were either at Imagination or Pixar or one of those, like, you know, groundbreaking, like they were somehow affiliated there.
Sure.
But what do you think a game that's not a video game, like it's still going to be a game,
right?
But they have way more of a cinematic animation. Sure. Studio is what I was going for. They have much more of that going. Like what could that be? Visual novel?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some games that have tried to do this sort of thing, the movie type video game. I find it very interesting. There's other people like Netflix who tried to do the whole Black Mirror decision thing that I think is like more of a movie or a show than a video game. I would love somebody that has video game experience to kind of mold the two. I think it could be a really interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love the idea of linear, because so often nowadays we get things that are just so vast and open-ended in a lot of ways. So I can enjoy a good linear story every once in a while, but I'm glad to see, like Dave said, that they broke even.
Yeah.
Especially on what seems to have been a pretty ambitious title for maybe a studio that didn't really have the set of tools that maybe other studios did or the experience, but I never played it myself. I was waiting for it to go on sale, and then what Dave said, it just kind of got lost. So, yeah. Wouldn't mind trying it at some point. It seemed very cute.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five, Red Dead Redemption, This is a story we've been talking about for a while, and it's come to its very disappointing conclusion. Red Dead Redemption, the acclaimed Western adventure, is set to launch on PS4 and Nintendo Switch on August 17th. That is next week, ladies and gentlemen. The classic title, originally released on PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2010, is being brought to modern platforms by Double 11 Studios, a UK developer. Additionally, the PS5 will support backward compatibility for this port. It is important to note that this release is not a remaster. It's also not a remake, but rather it is a conversion, as described by Rockstar. While it won't feature major graphical overhauls, it does come with some enhanced language support, including multiple different languages. The cost for this nostalgic journey is $50 on the Nintendo Switch eShop and PlayStation Store. Physical versions will also be available starting on October 13th. Unfortunately, there's been no release of a PC or Xbox release, and Red Dead Redemption has never been officially released on PC. It is worth noting that it is available through backwards compatibility. So if you have a Series X or you have it digitally, you can pop in the disc or just load up your game. And I think it's in 4K. It's at least higher resolution, and I'm pretty sure a better frame rate as well on the Xbox already. So that's probably the reason it's not getting an Xbox release. Brandon, we've been talking about how much we wanted a Red Dead 1 remaster or sure. remake or anything. And we said, just bring it to modern consoles. I don't think this is what we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. This seems very lackluster in a lot of ways. I've seen a lot of discourse on the internet about the frustration with the price tag. And I think that this has to be one of the most half-baked ways they could have possibly done this.
Yeah. I would rather they have given it to Grove Street like they did
right.
the GTA trilogy and screw it up.
I mean, yeah.
Then just not even do anything to it.
I mean, at this point, do I wish AI would have fixed it a little or made it look a little prettier? I don't know. I'm not saying that. You know, obviously, I'm joking around. But yeah, man, I didn't expect this. I guess I should expect it from Rockstar now. I mean, this has been the second time I've been questioning their decisions. But yeah, man, just a little bit of a letdown. I guess for people that want to re-experience it, they can, but I know I'm not going to be paying $50 to play it on my PlayStation. I'm going to pop in my disc to my Series X.
Yeah.
Or if you have an Xbox, I think it's probably like $20 or $30 for the original disc.
Probably. I mean, it might have gone up after this announcement, but
no, I saw that because like you can get that bundled with the Undead Nightmare. I saw it on Reddit as well.
Oh, I don't think I mentioned that. Undead Nightmare is going to be part of this. Okay. So at least you have that.
Good. So, yeah, I mean, as excited as I was, this is definitely not what I was hoping for. And I guess it kind of is what it is. It will get it in more people's hands, but probably, I don't know that there could have been a more lackluster way of them presenting this to me.
If they had just reprinted the same game on a new disc and sold it for $60, that might have been more lackluster.
Yeah, yeah, and that would be like, wow.
Dave, as the number one Switch connoisseur, how do you think Red Dead's going to run on your Switch?
Well, I can finally play it in Polish, so there's that. I mean, I wonder, first of all, I would try this on Switch.
Yeah.
Because I think it's old enough that it might run well, and playing this portably would be pretty fun. It wouldn't be my first choice, but I would try it. I wonder if there were plans to remake this the same way that they did the GTA trilogy, but when they saw what happened with that, they backed off. And maybe they don't have the resources internally to support GTA Online and GTA 6 development and just said, fuck it. Let's just re-release it, not do any work into it. We know how lazy Rockstar can be, and they can be lazy because, you know, they're printing money right now. They, as we said, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been charting for 10 years. Grand Theft Auto Online will not die. People just keep putting money into that game. So, you know, maybe they were going to take the easy way out, but then just said, you know what? Outsourcing this isn't going to be a good idea because, you know, we kind of ran into some trouble with the trilogy. So this is the next best thing for them. And you know what? People are going to buy it. They're going to make a lot of money off this re-release. And I don't know. It's really too bad, but it is what it is, I suppose. And you can play, I was actually just reading today, in some positive news, if you have a hacked PS5, Brandon, you can play Red Dead Redemption 2 in 60 frames per second.
God damn.
It's been modded.
Dude, now I can play, if I hack my PS5, which is a very questionable thing to do, I can play Bloodborne at 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
And I can play Red Dead.
There you go.
That's true. Think about that, Sony. Just think about that.
Dave, I think you might be onto something with the fact that they were thinking about doing it, because as I mentioned last week, we got all those images of the Outlaw Collection a year or two ago. And I don't know if those were real or not, or if they were, you know, just leaked completely, or if they were fake entirely, who knows, but that might have been on the agenda, and then it got chopped after the GTA ports. That might be a tenable theory.
Why put the whole map in Red Dead 2? Why?
Exploration.
You can't get there.
I know. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
You know, there has to have been some bigger plan.
Yeah.
Like, there has to have been, right?
I guess. I think so.
And then GTA, or I'm sorry, I'm getting all fucking confused. Red Dead 2 Online shit the bed.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. There was something else there. I don't know what it is, but there was something going on and they had to pivot.
Yeah.
That has to be it.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Number six and the final one. Baldur's Gate 3 developer Larian Studios is adamant about maintaining its independence and has no plans to be acquired by a larger company. The studio's founder expressed that while the idea of acquisition is flattering, the strength of the company lies in his direct involvement in gameplay decisions. Larian values the creative freedom that comes with independence and aims to create games that prioritize player experience. Regarding recent rumors of Microsoft considering acquisitions, including Larian, he emphasized his commitment to the studio's autonomy. He acknowledged that the success of Baldur's Gate 3 has been beyond their expectations, but it hasn't changed their future plans. Larian Studios is focused on making immersive, multiplayer systems-driven RPGs while maintaining a cinematic and storytelling approach. Baldur's Gate 3 has seen remarkable success since launch. With its player count soaring on Steam, it has become one of Steam's most played games, surpassing concurrent player counts for things like Valheim and Apex Legends. I think it's currently sitting at the number 3 for most concurrent players of all time. Brandon, we were talking about BG3 a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
First of all, what do you think about Larian and their decision not to be acquired?
Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's very hard nowadays to kind of stick to your guns, especially when the big boys are waving checks at you, whether that be the Chinese or the Americans, I guess.
Yeah.
But the good Polish. For them. Yeah. Good for them. What's that?
Or the Polish.
Or the Polish. Yeah. Yeah. You never know. But no, this is good, and I think they hit it right on the nose. I mean, it will allow them to prioritize what they want to prioritize, and being acquired oftentimes does not mean that.
Yeah,
I would say most times. So really glad to see the success of this game. We've been watching this for a while. It's been in early access for a while, so a lot was known about this game, but actually seeing it in the hands of many people, and based off the numbers, in many hands of people that may not have typically enjoyed this type of game, is really good for the genre, and is really good for Larian. So, yeah, this is great. I don't know whether I'm going to be picking it up or not, just to be completely frank with you guys. It's very intimidating to me, in a lot of ways, incredibly intimidating. That hasn't stopped me before with games, but, yeah, we'll see, man. It's going to be a big next couple months as far as games go. I don't know if I'll be able to squeeze it in, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's also huge. It seems like something big that you could just play forever.
Very big and very replayable.
Yeah.
Dave, your thoughts on Larian not wanting to get acquired, and also your thoughts on, are you going to be playing Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah, good for Larian. I think they did Divinity Original Sin as well.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was that's been a game that has such a strong following and has for so long. And Baldur's Gate 3 was in early access for quite some time. And if Larian was answering to, you know, a publisher, if they were not independent like they are, this game, one, probably wouldn't have been in early access, and two, would have been rushed out probably 6 to 9 months too early. And rather than this success story that we're talking about, You know, we'd probably be getting apologies about all the broken systems and bugs and stuff like that. So good for Larian for sticking to their guns and wanting to work at their own pace and release quality products and take steps that they think are appropriate and take gambles, because releasing a game in early access is it's got positives, but there's also risks there. I mean, you risk kind of really pulling the hot air out of a really successful launch of, you know, really kind of striking when the iron's hot, and they took that risk and it's really paid off for them. So good for them. As far as Baldur's Gate, I'm with you, Brandon. It's just a little bit too intimidating for me. It's the system, you know, if you're in the Discord, if you're not in the Discord, feel free to join. But if you are, and I know a lot of people in our Discord are playing, and I, someone needs to tell me that this game is to be enjoyed and it's not nearly as intimidating, I think, please let me know, because it seems like a really, really quality game that people are enjoying. But yeah, as it stands, I'm a little intimidated by this one. I'll enjoy it on Twitch. How about that?
Well, speaking of Baldur's Gate 3, let's move into what we've been playing. And that's not really a tease. I've played Baldur's Gate 3 for about an hour, which basically got me through the character creator in the opening scene last night. I was away for 4 days, something like that. So I haven't really played a whole lot. The biggest things I played while I was away, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 1 Pixel Remaster. And by a little bit, I mean probably a couple hours. I figured out how to get it running on my Mac. I won't go into detail because I'm not even 100% sure it was all legal. I mean, I didn't pirate it, but the software I used to play it might not be. I don't know. Anyway, so I played a little bit of that. It's Final Fantasy 1. I don't need to talk about it. It's done really well, and just I haven't played it in probably 20 years, so it was kind of fun to jump in. I don't know if I'll keep playing it or not, but. And then also Midnight Suns. I think I've got probably about 12 or 13 hours in this game since I started playing it almost maybe 10 days ago. And finally, the Legendary Edition. I found it on sale, a code for on sale for like $35. I had to bite on it because I've been wanting to play it. And it's really enjoyable. I was telling Brandon before the show, the thing I don't like about it is the thing I thought I would like about it. There's a lot of story and stuff like that. I think you can skip a lot of it, but it does lend its it lends to the gameplay, because when you have an interaction with somebody or you rank up your like relationship level with them or whatever, it gives you some buffs for the actual gameplay. And it's, you know, it's a turn-based kind of like XCOM game, and it's a lot of fun. The combat is really fun. I'm really enjoying the card system and everything else, but I will say that I just want more of that and less running around the grounds trying to interact with stuff. And maybe that changes a little bit further into the game. But so far, I'm kind of like, okay, just let me do the fighting. But I bought the Legendary Edition. It was the one on sale. And so I have like all the DLC to play afterwards and everything, which I'm interested in it. I like the characters and everything, but I really just want to fight. I want to fight with a little bit of storytelling sprinkled in instead of storytelling with a little bit of fighting sprinkled in. That's pretty much it for me. Brandon, let's go to you.
Yeah. So right after the show last week, I beat Remnant 2.
Mm.
Yeah. Very enjoyable experience overall. I think I said this maybe last week. Out of nowhere, I really did not expect to even be playing this game, let alone knowing what it was in general. So props to them. Their continued support of the game is good as well. I think I said last week they did really, really well. It seems like they maybe fell off on the physical UK charts a little bit. But the concurrent players are still, I'm sure, well beyond what they potentially expected. So, nothing more to say about that other than really enjoyable experience. I'm wondering how replayable it's going to be for me.
Yeah.
It's incredibly replayable in general based on the way that the game is set up. But we'll see how long it sticks around. Glad to have owned it. And who knows, maybe we'll jump back in someday because it was quite a bit of fun.
Sure.
I finished Forza Hot Wheels. Super, super good. Honestly, I said everything I need to say about it last week. It's just really fun to be driving around on the track.
All you really need to say is Forza Hot Wheels and you kind of get the picture.
Yeah, seriously. So good stuff. I just love Love Forza 5. Just so good, man. And along with the Hot Wheels DLC, I got the bundle. I got the Forza Rally, which is really cool as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't really reinvent the wheel too much. There's kind of like rally racing in the base game. But the add-on to the rally adventures is the call-outs. If you've ever watched a rally race, they have two people in the car, and the driving is fast-paced enough that they essentially have to be like, bare left, hard right. So that's kind of fun. Having watched some rally racing before, to kind of experience that in a game is pretty interesting. So that's really the biggest change in the Forza, aside from being in a new area that isn't very big. So overall, not quite as interesting as the Hot Wheels, just by way of what we're doing here. But yeah, cool overall. Just glad to be playing this game. I've played it a lot. I've actually prestiged, I guess. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like level 213 or 14. After level 200, you essentially start over.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, it says level 14, but there's like a little start by my name. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of running out of things to do in the game.
Yeah.
So, just waiting for the next car adventure to come out.
Brandon, you're the type of person who would benefit from a wheel.
I know. Yeah, I know. My biggest problem is I've already beat GT7, and that would be the like primo experience for the wheel as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I would want it to feel as if I have the peripherals to make it feel real. I want it to be the most real experience possible, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So like a game like Forza, I'm sure would be super fun.
Yeah.
And I guess I could probably maybe tweak the settings to make it feel a little bit more like GT7, but because I've already beat that.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I wish I would have had a wheel then.
Well, Motorsport's coming out soon.
Yeah, true. You know? I honestly think it. I've never played a Motorsport. I've been a Forza guy, Horizon guy, and not a Motorsport guy.
Right.
But I would imagine they play almost identical. Like, I would imagine that just because they're on a track, I don't think that's going to change much about the moment-to-moment gameplay. It'll just change the setting.
Right.
If I had to guess, I could be wrong.
Sorry, did you say Forza Horizon and Motorsport play the same? Or are we talking about Forza and GT7?
They definitely don't. He was saying he
thinks Forza Motorsport and Forza Horizon don't play the same?
No.
They're very different.
No. I've never played a Motorsport. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot more like a Gran Turismo experience Motorsport is. I think it's slightly more arcadey, but the difference, like Motorsport and Horizon are miles apart.
Are they really? Okay. Yeah. Honestly, I was already excited to play Motorsport, but that's actually wonderful news. I'm actually really glad to hear that. So who knows? Maybe I should get a wheel.
Go check out the previous Motorsport on Game Pass.
You can't.
What?
They took it off.
They did?
Yeah. Dick move.
I didn't know that.
Dick move. They don't want to get cut into their own market, but I'm like, it's not coming out until what? Like fucking October or some shit?
They took it off when?
I don't know, bro, because I had the same exact thought, because I downloaded the last Forza when I was getting bored with 5 for a little bit before I bought the DLC.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is like the same shit, but feels older, so I don't want to play this. And so I was like, wait, I've never tried a Motorsport. And then it was like, yeah, pay $50. And I'm like, hell no, I have Game Pass. Why would I?
I can't believe they did that.
I know. Isn't that shitty?
It's pretty shitty. Well, yeah. October 10th.
Yeah. So
coming soon. Yeah, it's very different. I've only played a little bit of Motorsport in the past, and it wasn't my thing, but I think you would like it.
Yeah,
knowing how much you like racing
games.
I'm
so glad to hear that, yeah. To be honest.
Remember how Dave talked a lot about how Horizon is just more of a car game?
Right.
It's more of a driving game. Mm-hmm. Motorsport is a racing game.
Okay.
It's not a dick around on back roads game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm looking for. So awesome to hear.
Yeah. Dave.
So I've been playing Sleeping Dogs on my PS5. I don't know if I think I randomly watched a video of somebody, like a platinum video on Sleeping Dogs recently, and I don't know if I picked up on YouTube's algorithm or this game is actually seeing a bit of a renaissance, because I just feel like I'm seeing it a lot. It was on sale for $6 on PSN, and Yeah, I just kind of had my eye on it, and I'm glad I jumped in because this game is really fun. It's it came out in 2012, so it's 11 years old now, if you can believe it. I didn't play it when it originally came out, but yeah, I really like it. I'm sure most people have played it, but I really like kind of the focus on melee combat over, you know, kind of shooting. It is like any sort of crime based metropolitan open world game from the year 2005 to 2020. That isn't Grand Theft Auto. It does feel like a poor man's Grand Theft Auto in many ways, but it really kind of embraces the melee stuff and some of the chase scenes, which I really like. So I think it does enough on its own to feel like, you know, it's not just trying to be a GTA clone. It also leans into like you're an undercover cop really well. Like, it's not just sort of a narrative piece, but I really like how it kind of interweaves, you know, your role as both an undercover cop and you know, a triad gang member into how you actually do missions. So like, you know, if you're in a mission and you're in a car chase and you do a bunch of property damage, or if you hit somebody or stuff, like your cop rating goes down, and that restricts like how you can level up certain skills in like the cop skill tree. I really like how there's a lot of like side missions where you're like planting a wire or a bug or hacking a camera or like identifying suspects and stuff like that. And there's lots of cool little mini games that are in there. So yeah, I really like how it kind of interweaves the undercover cop piece into the gameplay, because it really does make it stand out a little bit from you know, just a traditional GTA experience. It's also like pretty small by today's standards, which is refreshing, because some of these open world games, like, you play for 10 hours and then the actual map opens up to you and you're like, holy fuck, I'm already tired of this. So it's nice to kind of play something that's a little bit more digestible. Sleeping Dogs, I'm really enjoying it. Again, it was only $6 on PSN. I had a bit of a weird situation, and maybe everybody knows this, but I've never encountered this before. I guess this is a game that isn't actually natively supposed to work on PS5. I pulled up the game on, like, I was on the PlayStation Store on the app on my phone, and it popped up on my phone saying, this game on your wish list is on sale. So then I immediately went upstairs, turned on my PS5, and it wasn't there. I couldn't find it. And so I looked it up, and people were saying, like, yeah, you have to buy it in the app, and then when you do that, it will show up in your library and start downloading. Sure enough, that worked. I played it for like 5 to 10 hours, and you get a little pop-up when you boot up the game that says, you may experience unexpected issues with playing this game on your PS5. And I have had like a bunch of crashes with this game.
Weird.
So yeah, I've never seen that before, but you know, it's playable on PS5, but it's almost like Sony doesn't want me to play it.
Yeah.
But again, Brandon,
you played Sleeping Dogs, didn't you?
Yeah. Way back.
Yeah.
Way back.
I don't know why I thought it was more recent.
No.
Yeah. The other game I've been playing is a game called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
That's a fun one.
Sorry?
That's a fun one.
Yeah. It's a game I saw that somebody I watch stream a lot. I was watching him play it with another streamer, and I thought, that looks fun. It was $20, got it on Switch. For those who haven't heard of this game, it's kind of like a party game, but more of like a two-player couch co-op game where, in the case of the Switch, one person has the Switch, and on the screen they have a bomb that's in a suitcase, and it's their job to defuse the bomb. But the other person you're playing with, they have the bomb manual, which is either on your phone or iPad. You can even print it out if you want. There's an actual PDF. And the bomb manual has instructions about how to, like, what you do in each scenario for each of the modules that are actually on this bomb. So, like, if I'm the diffuser and I have the Switch, I have to describe, like, I have 4 wires that are horizontal, 3 of them are white, and 1 of them is red. And then the person with the manual would look on it and see, like, okay, if it has 4 wires and 1 of them is white, cut this wire. So they then have to relay that information to the person defusing, and each bomb would have like a number of different modules. And obviously there's a timer, and if time runs out, or if you do the wrong thing a certain number of time, it explodes. So I played it briefly with my wife, and she said it was one of the most stressful experiences she's ever had. She never wants to play it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool game. Again, kind of a party game, but also something you want to play with somebody who like is going to focus. It's a bit of a learning curve, only because like that bomb manual, like you, it's not a pick up and play. Like you actually have to skim that manual a bit first before you try and play, because if you're trying to read it, all the instructions for the first time before you're actually disarming the bomb, then you know time's just going to run out. So really interesting
game.
Did
you tell your wife she owes you $20?
Yeah, no, I'm going to keep playing it with other people. I'll try it with her again, but okay. she did say this is cool, but I need to be in the right frame of mind for this. Yeah. So yeah, that's it for me though. Just those two games this week.
I first played that game. Actually, I've only ever played that game when the original PSVR came out. I think Dustin had it, and we checked it out. That was a good time. It's way different when you're like in the headset, and you not only like you can't even make eye contact with the person. That made it that like exacerbated the anxiety for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's all we got today. That's been the show. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Also appreciate you guys who are over in the Discord. If anybody else wants to join up, you're welcome to do so over at handsomephantom.com/discord. You can also sign up and support us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. We appreciate it. Also, before I forget, Benji Bop, I remember now, he commented on the last post on Patreon and said, I'm here. He's in the Discord. He's active in there, but he commented on the Patreon because I mentioned about nobody comments on the Patreon. So he commented last week. So thank you, Benji, for that. We appreciate it. Other than that, we'll see you next time. Have a great week.
The HP Podcast is made possible by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following patrons are at the $5 level or above: Toby Ryland, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Jared, Poot, Boots, Passive Pixels, Edwin Castillo, Marie Spays, H-Trons, Nuke Dukem, Derek O, Rainick, Christian Snow, Grabalicious, Benji Bop, and Johnny Waffles.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.